This is the last stand on earth.
And good to have you back for hour two of Across America here, live from Cheyenne, Wyoming, right here on KGAB.com. If you'd like to be on the program today, pick up a phone line, 307-632-6500. And if you're listening to us on KGAB.com, the number is 1-888-503-6500. And if you want to join us on Across America radio program, head on out to Facebook, befriend us there. We'd love to be your friend and open up some discussion there as well. Well, our next guest we had in the first half hour, he's a retired lieutenant colonel from the Special Forces. He has a book out called One Rough Man. Brad Taylor, welcome back to Across America.
Thank you.
So we talked quite a bit about your book in the first half hour, and once again, for those that are just joining the program, he is author of One Rough Man. You can pick that up in any of your bookstores. Beyond Special Forces Lies Our Last Line of Defense. It's got a lot of unclassified factual stuff in there. It's got some characters in there. Great book. I cracked it open and already like what I see. Brad was in the Special Forces. He's got a lot of experience, 21 years in the military. He was even on the list to be a Fulbright colonel. So let's talk a little bit now, Brad, about this engagement that happened with Osama bin Laden. He was of sorts public enemy number one, and we see that our great military men, thanks to George W. Bush, who was president, who knew that it was going to be a long haul, knew that it was going to be a long road. He really held down the fort through the ups and downs, and I don't know that there's a lot of men that would not have caved in under some of the pressure that he was in. But in 2011, we find out that Osama bin Laden, who was one of the masterminds between the 9/11 and caused a lot of havoc, has now been put to rest. What are some of the things? Let's start with the preparation of the Special Forces, that some of the inside look that may have helped them accomplish this mission, Brad.
Well, for the guys that are on the ground, the guys that actually did the mission themselves, when you get to that level, when you're talking about a national, something of national strategic importance, that most people want to talk about how, you know, tough the guys are and how well they shoot and, you know, how they do hand to hand, which they obviously have all that. It's a baseline, but at that level, they're looking for a guy who can think. They want a problem solver on the ground. They want somebody who can make decisions that will impact our national security at a huge level on the ground, under pressure, under fire. So it's really a thinking man's game at that point.
Right, and I kind of think of games like chess and Risk where, you know, like for football, for instance, Brad, how many times does, say, the New England Patriots or some other kind of football team, they watch their opponent over and over and over again. They get to know how their opponent thinks. They get to know how they work. Is that some of the things the Special Forces do in some of their training, is getting to know their enemy and their habits and things that they do so that they can that can help better equip them to go in and get the mission accomplished?
For sure, by all means. Actually, the analogy is pretty apt because that wasn't the first rodeo those guys had been on. They've assaulted hundreds of compounds in Afghanistan and Iraq and were very, very well prepared to do that on the fly, and they didn't do that. They obviously rehearsed it over and over again with a mock-up and everything else. So when they hit the target, I mean, they were ready to go. I had no doubt when those guys hit the ground that there's very little that's going to stand in their way. They're the top-notch, and the hard part's getting there. I mean, penetrating a sovereign country, getting through the radar, the links involved, all the things that go wrong in getting in and getting out. That's what's tough about it.
And I don't think a lot of people understand that, Brad. You know, we live in what I call a real microwave society. Everything at the touch of a finger from our cell phone. And we forget that when it comes to combat, even though we have a lot of high-speed technology, we have probably the best training in the world. Whether that's been accumulated by other countries and their training and conglomerated into one. I don't think people realize that when you get on the ground in those combat zones, you got the media that's putting pressure on the politicians and they're doing all they can to kind of fatigue the general public. But there really is no microwave quick fix way of going in and taking an enemy out like that.
No, none whatsoever. You're right. At the end of the day, it's coming from the point of a spear. I mean, they took it to us. I get kind of disgusted with people like, okay, so, you know, why are we celebrating bin Laden's death? That's not right. We're not celebrating his death.
No.
We're celebrating the fact that he's no longer there. I mean, if he'd have been captured, which also that's something else that aggravates me. People say we went in there to assassinate bin Laden. That's not the case. I mean, I know those guys personally, and make no mistake, he's dead because he showed hostile intent. Mm-hmm. There's a reason Uday and Qusay, Saddam Hussein's sons, are dead.
That's right.
They showed hostile intent and fought back. There's a reason that Saddam Hussein was captured alive. He did not. So if those guys, if Bin Laden's dead, he showed hostile intent. But when those guys get on the ground, it takes that kind of commitment to get the mission done.
Absolutely. Commitment and teamwork. These guys have a real close-knit relationship with one another as well.
Well, it's a much bigger teamwork than that. That team is obviously, the guys on the ground are super solid. But the teamwork all the way out to the intelligence collection agencies piecing this thing together, all the various interrogations that went on, all the various phone intercepts, everything that pieced this one piece together. And then you've got to look at the flight times, like I said, the helicopters, the refuel, the contingency plans for all. There's a bazillion different contingencies. I guarantee you they had a whole pipeline there. If we capture him alive, what are we going to do with him? Where is he going to go and all this? And they didn't do anything because he was killed.
Right, absolutely. So just in your experience, and for those of you that are just joining us, we're talking to retired Lieutenant Colonel Brad Taylor, author of One Rough Man. We're talking about some of the inside look of the Special Forces from someone that has firsthand been in the Special Forces. In your experience, Brad, about how long do you think from the time they got to the intelligence until they actually went in and executed the mission, on or about, how long do you think that was?
I think that that's kind of a two-phase question, because whenever you get intelligence like this, there isn't it's not black and white. You never get the golden egg. You never say, I didn't know where he was yesterday, and now I definitely know where he is today. What they had was a pattern they were building up. This is an important courier. He's going to lead us to Bin Laden. He's led us to this compound. Let's watch this compound and see if we can figure out where this courier is going to take us to. As they watched it, hey, this compound's more than we thought it was. The evidence starts building up until it reaches a tipping point, and they say it's more valuable to go ahead and hit it than the risks of not hitting it. And that's kind of how that goes. Nowhere in there was there a decision where it was like, he's there, let's go. I guarantee you when they found that thing, they started looking at it and started rehearsing it. I mean, I've done bazillions of missions that never went anywhere because you're waiting on, you got to be ready to go when they call, and then it turns out they're not going to call.
Absolutely. Hi, you're on with retired Lieutenant Colonel Brad Taylor here on Across America.
Hey, good afternoon, Gary, and thank you for serving, Colonel.
Thank you.
Eric here. Hey, all this fuss about show me the pictures, I don't care anymore because, I wouldn't know what he looked like anyway, so what's the difference, and the real proof, if you wanted, you'd have to bring up the body and get a DNA test, not just from that swamp. Who cares? If they say he's dead, all right, if the SEALs say he's dead, I'm going to take that for
face
for the
value.
Truth.
You bet.
Face value. I'll tell you that.
I don't need to see all this fuss about a photo. What is it going to do? That's just a stalling tactic while they're doing something else.
Colonel?
When this first happened and we did the barrel at sea, which, by the way, I agree with, I thought that was a good decision. The administration got flack for that, and I thought, hey, that's a good call. But I did say, hey, we've got to have proof of death. Mm-hmm. You've got to, not for the American public. Most of the argument centers around, the 9/11 family should be allowed to see his dead body, and in public,
right.
They should see. That's not what my point was. My point was that the Islamic fundamentalists out there need to see that he is dead, because that's the psychological blow. Mm-hmm. If they do not believe he's dead, you've lost the very reason you got rid of him.
It's just my personal opinion.
I'm agreeing with you because I said you've got to have something. It didn't have to be a photo. It could have been the DNA or anything.
Yeah.
Well, what's the best
I wouldn't
proof
know
of death
what,
you could possibly
what
have?
Like. I wouldn't know what he looked like anywhere. I could probably go to New York and pick out 20 guys that look like him. You know what I mean?
Well, right. But the best proof of death is Al-Qaeda coming out and saying, yep, he's
and
dead.
And they did it.
And they
came
and
out
they did it.
And
but as soon as
dead.
That happened, I said, okay, the photo issue's gone.
Yeah.
Al-Qaeda just gave us proof of death. We're done.
Yeah, and there's a new commander in charge,
So, I mean, as soon as that happened, that is proof of death. And I think, looking back on it, they probably had some reflections right after the raid from Al-Qaeda chatter talking to themselves saying, Bin Laden's dead, how are we going to handle this? And they probably had some indication that those guys were going to say something, and they said, okay, there's no reason to do the photos. Let's just wait a couple of days.
I believe they could have taken them alive, they would have, because they could have extracted more information out of them. But I don't think that opportunity was there, with all what was going on. And we got to remember, there's a lot of political stuff involved in this, and to dig deep into that, all right, that's just another dog and pony sideshow,
And, yeah, it's not. I know for a fact that he showed hostile intent. I know how his operations go down. I've been on him before, and then
I believe you. Yes,
it's ridiculous when people say that he was tied up and shot in the back of the head or something.
I know it's nothing like what the movies portray.
That's ridiculous.
You know what I mean? I mean, you know, you got stuff in the movies that said, well, Gary, you've been in the service. I've been in the service. And you know what it takes to have 110 pounds on your back.
Oh, yeah.
And doing something.
Sleeping on the side of the road while guys like Colonel Taylor are getting their poop in a group
that,
to keep going.
But you're carrying ammunition for the machine gunner, too. You got a belt of ammunition around your neck, too. You mm-hmm. know what I mean?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. So you know all what takes place, plus your grenades and all that. And you got a backpack and you got a fanny pack and whatnot. And if you can run 500 yards... and not fall flat on your face, you're a survivor.
Absolutely. Hey, Eric, thanks for the call.
Okay.
Great call.
Right.
Hi, you're on the phone with Lieutenant Colonel Brad Taylor.
Yeah, how are you? You know, I can you hear me okay?
Yes, we can. Oh. What's your name?
Yeah, I'm David.
Hi, Dave.
Listening on the internet here and from the West Coast, California.
Oh, great. Glad to have you on.
You know, I ran into a book, an older book. I think it was written in the late 50s. It's called Days of Shame. It's written by a Republican senator from Michigan, Senator Potter. And as I understand it, Senator Potter was one of the, got a bunch of medals. I'm not sure if he got the Bronze Star or Congressional Medal of Honor, but he was a highly decorated World War II vet and one of the youngest senators ever elected in America. And being in Michigan, he was immediately right next to the state of Wisconsin and Senator Joe McCarthy. And in it, he was sitting on that House Un-American Activities panel with Senator McCarthy, and it was Senator Potter's contention that actually Joe McCarthy was a traitor, and that every time he would open his mouth, he would disclose top secrets. And he gives an example. I think it was in New Hampshire. The United States government had a listening post, essentially an early NSA post that had 35,000 employees. And Joe McCarthy, in front of 20 million viewers, disclosed that base and essentially outed 35,000 top secret members of the armed forces or the security apparatus, and essentially ruined that base. And while he was claiming to be a patriot, every time he would open his mouth, he would disclose top secrets. And so when you're getting into this discussion of looking at what are the SEALs, trying to get those guys outed, trying to build a parade for them. It would seem to me that many of the people that are advocating, seeing the photographs and whatnot, are performing the same tactic as what Joe McCarthy was doing, pretending to be patriots but actually being someone that would sabotage America. So I'm wondering, first of all, if you're familiar with this concept, and then second of all, whether or not, do you remember the fellow that was trying to burn the Koran down there in Florida? And,
sure.
And he ended up going to Michigan and doing it, and he got a bunch of, he got a UN base destroyed, and he got 13 U.S. troops killed by doing it. So, it seems like the people that are pretending to be patriots are actually saboteurs in some way.
I agree, and the frenzy that surrounded this thing, and that's one of the things that I've told everybody when I come on is, look, I know some of the classified information on this, and I'm not going to talk about it. Every time we release some of this information, for instance, the photos themselves, one of the reasons they may not have been released is because there's something compromising in the photos as far as tactics, techniques, and procedures for accomplishing the mission. It's not as simple as, okay, let me show you the body. You hear him talking about, let's get these videos, let's see this, let's see that. Well, no way is that stuff going to come out, because the next time we hit a target, we don't want them to use that information to defend against it. I remember when I was first going into Afghanistan, there was a general on TV who was talking about, here's the ranges of the helicopters, here's this, here's that, here's all these things, and if I were going to do this mission, here's how I would do it. Now, he wasn't privy to what I was doing, but he basically outlined what I was about to do. And we had to go to him and say, you know, get off the TV, quit talking about this.
Absolutely. Brad, I'm going to put you on hold for a moment. We're going to go to this break. Dave out in California, thanks for your phone call. Great point. When we come back, we'll finish up our discussion with retired Lieutenant Colonel Brad Taylor, author of One Rough Man, talking about the inside scoop on the Special Forces. We'll be back right after this. And it's 2:26 here in the Mountain Standard Time Zone. Welcome back to Across America here. We are coming from you live from Cheyenne, Wyoming, as we do every Saturday right here from 1 to 3 p.m. Mountain Standard Time. You can either listen to us here locally at AM 650 KGAB or on the web at www.kgab.com. I want to welcome back Brad Taylor, retired Lieutenant Colonel, Special Forces. Welcome back to Across America, Brad. We're getting ready to wrap up here in just a moment. Is there any kind of final things that we were talking a little bit about this picture and everything like that? And one of the things that that you brought out before we went to the break was that the main thing is we want to make sure that Al-Qaeda and that bunch know that this man is dead. And honestly, Brad, I thought it was quite comical how some of these guys were saying, we're going to get you Americans for this, we're going to do this, and they started threatening. And I know we have to take those threats seriously, but what were some of your thoughts, or what are some of your maybe your final comments to the general public on this event that happened a couple weeks ago?
Well, I'll tell you that terrorism in and of itself is a phenomenon that's based on a perception of strength. People will join an organization based on the perception that it will succeed, and that's what Osama bin Laden had, this perception of infallibility, and that's why he got his funding, his recruiting, and all this kind of stuff. Of course, since it is a perception of strength, they want to show that we're not knocked out, we're still in the fight, so you get the threats and things like that. And I'm not real worried about some kind of spectacular 9/11 attack. I am worried about some lone wolf deciding to get his jihad on just because he's mad, but there's nothing we can do about that. We can do the best we can to prevent it. With the treasure trove we got off that target, I think we can disrupt pretty much any large-scale event that they had planned. And by the fact that they, you know, if they're going to do something 3 months from now, and they said, hey, we got to do it tomorrow, that engenders mistakes on their parts that helps us to disrupt it. But it, make no mistake, his death is a serious, serious blow. It's not the end of it, but I've heard some people say, what's the big deal? And they don't understand terrorism, because it's a big deal to them, I'll tell you that.
So it was a big deal, us taking out Osama bin Laden. I'm not trying to ask a dumb question, but some people are kind of downplaying it. I'm not. I think it was a pretty big deal that he was taken out. But anyways, Brad, we are out of time, sir. Once again, retired Lieutenant Colonel Brad Taylor has a book out, One Rough Man. Beyond Special Forces Lies Our Last Line of Defense. Colonel Taylor, it has been wonderful having you on Across America today, sir.
Thank you. I appreciate it. I had a good time.
Yeah, we appreciate your time and your insight, and we can hopefully our audience will go down and pick up one of your books, One Rough Man. Have a great weekend, Colonel Taylor, and we hope to talk to you again real soon, sir.
Thank you. Thank you for your service.
You bet. Thank you for your service, too. And when we come back, we will wrap up our final half hour here on Across America.